From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Martha Stewart went to prison. David Petraeus had an affair. Paula Deen used the N-word. Anthony Weiner tweeted his, you know. Elliot Spitzer hired hookers. Is all forgiven or not? Target and Walmart don't think so, apparently, when it comes to Paula Deen. They've still bailed. Weiner and Spitzer, they're back, running for office. This hour on Point, we're looking at who and what is forgivable in American public life today. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Where's the line now? Is there one, a point of no return or not? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. It has been pretty abject out there at times lately. Here was Paula Deen, June 22nd, posting a roughly edited video apology online. Here she is.
I want to apologize to everybody for the wrong that I've done. I want to learn and grow from this. Inappropriate, hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable.
And that wasn't enough. She came back with more. Paula Deen again.
If there's anyone out there that has never said something that they wish they could take back, if you're out there, please pick up that stone and throw it so hard in my head that it kills me. Please.
Paula Deen appealing there sort of to Jesus and who will throw the first stone. That's one approach. There are others, and we are seeing them in politics lately. Yesterday on CBS This Morning, former New York governor, disgraced, resigned, Elliot Spitzer, was asked if he decided to run for New York City comptroller after he saw a wave of forgiveness for former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, also disgraced, resigned, who's now running for New York mayor. Here's Elliot Spitzer.
There is forgiveness in the public. Whether that forgiveness will extend to any individual is always a separate and independent question. And I will have to make a case very different than any other person has made. I expect I will make it every day between now and the election. And I look forward to making it. Whether I was in front of a jury or whether I was asking for votes as Attorney General and Governor, I believe in the goodness and the judgment of voters and people, if I win or lose.
Elliot Spitzer, and he wants your vote. We're looking at today at who deserves public forgiveness, from Paula Deen to Anthony Weiner to Elliot Spitzer and beyond. Whose transgressions deserve a pass, get a pass? Whose don't, and why? We've got a great crew to dig in here with today. From New York, where Spitzer and Weiner are looking to come back, Alina Tugend joins us, author of Better by Mistakes, The Unexpected Benefits of Being Wrong. She writes for the New York Times consumer column Shortcuts. Alina, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Also with us from New York is Robin R. Ford, director of the Center for Teaching and Learning Excellence at the Medgar Evers College of the City University of New York. She wrote an essay for Salon.com headlined, I'm Black and I Forgive Paula Deen. We'll see who else she forgives or doesn't. Robin Ford, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's nice for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. And with us from Washington, Roxanne Roberts, co-author of the Washington Post's daily column, The Reliable Source, chronicles Washington society, also a regular panelist on the NPR show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Roxanne Robinson, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm fascinated by this topic, so I'm really excited.
I mean, who isn't these days? Alina, let us come straight to you, and Robin will come right to you as well. But Alina, there you are in New York. You've got Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer now running for office, the highest office in New York City, mayor and comptroller right behind it. Does New York City look ready to forget and forgive, Alina?
I mean, I don't know if I can speak for all of New York City. It's amazing to me that we constantly have these scenarios where people rise up high, fall as low as they seem to go, and then come back. So I wouldn't place any bets against Weiner or against Spitzer.
I mean, in spite of the rough reception, New York Post, huge headline referring to his time with prostitutes, here we ho again. I mean, he's not exactly being given a red carpet here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's going to have a rough time. I think it's also different what Weiner did than what Spitzer did. I think even though these are all celebrities we're talking about who've all fallen down in some way, I think we have to remember what Weiner did may have been weird and stupid, but what Spitzer did was really unbelievably hypocritical. And
it was illegal when he was responsible.
It was illegal and it was a betrayal of his office. And I think even as I said, even though we lump them together, we shouldn't. And so I think people might have a lot harder time forgiving Spitzer than Weiner.
Let's go to you personally then. Would you forgive one, either, both, after all the reservations that you're describing right there?
I thought a lot about this, especially when I knew I'd come on this show. And I think when you say forgive, and I think this is something we need to talk about more, when we say forgive, do you essentially mean vote for them?
I guess that's what it boils down to, though. There's more to it in some funny way even than that. You could forgive them, but nevertheless decide they weren't the one to be mayor or comptroller, I guess.
That's right. And I guess this is something I'm very intrigued by, is this idea of how do we forgive celebrities? I don't know them. I don't have any interaction with them. What would it really mean to forgive them?
I guess one measure would be if you were willing again to speak well of them or speak of them in such a way as to suggest that by their actions or the passage of time or the change of social mores, that they were forgiven, redeemed.
I probably would in some hypothetical sense, yes. I think I can't say anyone, you know, I don't think either Spitzer or Weiner have done things that are unforgivable for a lifetime. But I think it would take a lot to get me to that point, especially with Spitzer.
Robin Ford, you're on the record in the headlines saying that you're willing and ready to forgive Paula Deen. So think about Paula and Anthony and Elliot. Do they fit together in some way? They're all public people. They all have, this moment of shame. They've all asked for forgiveness. And more than that, I mean, Paula Deen would like to have chunks of her celebrity chef empire back that she's lost. Anthony and Elliot want to be put in office. How do you look at this spectrum, and who do you forgive, who don't you, Robin?
I don't think you can really lump all of them together. Paula Deen is a celebrity. She's a celebrity cook. Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer are politicians. They betrayed the public trust with their actions. Paula Deen wasn't voted in by anybody. I think that time will tell whether Paula's fans are continue to support her or not. And the voting public, will decide, the fate of Weiner and Spitzer as well.
So you don't have to tell us how you would vote. You may not even know yet. But are you ready to look at Anthony and Elliot, Weiner and Spitzer, and say, they did their time in the wilderness. I'm ready to bring them back into what we used to call polite society, ready to speak well of them in the public arena or not, Robin?
Well, Spitzer, I think, has done more of his time in the wilderness, as you say.
5 years or something like
that. Yeah, it's been about 5 years or so.
Anthony Weiner was a pretty quick turnaround. He's back. It's not even 2 years.
Yeah, it didn't seem like Weiner went anywhere. I'm not really sure about Weiner. My idea of forgiveness is, it's the realization that all people are flawed and that we accept each other's flaws. And if the person who has wronged us in some way is willing to make amends and try to learn from their mistakes and change, then you forgive. I don't know that necessarily Anthony Weiner has had enough time to learn from his mistakes. But on the other hand, his mistakes weren't that egregious. His wife forgives him. It really doesn't matter to me as a voter what he tweeted.
A photograph of his groin.
Right. That doesn't necessarily affect me. I'm more looking at his record as a politician here in New York. That will determine whether or not I vote for him.
Roxanne Roberts, you're watching this from Washington, political capital of the world in Washington. I mean, how do you see how these pieces fit together or don't? You got Paula Deen, maybe Alec Baldwin and his tirade. You've got Mark Sanford coming back up from South Carolina, now as congressman, was governor, of course, and disgraced there after his affair, not on the Appalachian Trail, but in Argentina. Robin says, celebrities weren't voted in. Maybe they're not in a position to betray the public trust. I understand what she means. On the other hand, they're kind of voted in. We vote with our remote controls these days, and there's a public trust to some extent around her cooking, if not her racial attitudes. Is there a continuum here, Roxanne?
Well, we've been having a New Testament discussion, and I'm going to go Old Testament.
Fire and brimstone, where are you going?
Which is a little more judgmental. Okay. And I think that what is the common denominator between all of these people is that they've made a contract with us, particularly politicians, but celebrities too, that say, I'm a kind of person, and that is worthy of your support. Votes, buy my cookbooks, do something because you think I'm a kind of person that you admire. Now, I do think there's a separate issue, which is a political question, which is the skills of a politician versus their moral universe and their private lives. And that's sort of a subset of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can say that someone might be qualified for a job, but not think they're a good person, and to question their judgment to represent you because of errors they've made in the past.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about who deserves public forgiveness, from Paula Deen to Anthony Weiner to Elliot Spitzer and beyond. Whose transgressions deserve a pass, get a pass these days, and why? We're joined this hour by Alina Tugend, author of Better by Mistakes, The Unexpected Benefits of Being Wrong. It sounds like Anthony Weiner might be pushing your book these days, Alina. That's sort of his theme. Robin Ford is with us. She's at the Medgar Evers College of the City University of New York. African-American who says, Paula Deen, I'm ready to forgive. Roxanne Roberts is here. She writes the daily reliable source column at The Washington Post. Let's just listen back to a kind of, I don't know, think about these. Reese Witherspoon, morning of April 19th, police stop. Her husband had been driving and weaving. The police camera caught this exchange with Witherspoon, a little tipsy herself, going after the police officers.
Do you know my name, sir?
Don't need to know.
You don't need to know my name?
Not quite yet.
Oh, really? Okay. You're about to find out who I am.
Oh, boy. And as she apologized for that kind of attitude, it went on and on. Chris Brown attacked his girlfriend Rihanna, leaving her battered and bruised, then posted this first apology online sometime back.
I am very sad and very ashamed of what I've done. My mother and my spiritual teachers have taught me way better than that. I have told Rihanna countless times, and I'm telling you today, that I'm truly, truly sorry, and that I wasn't able to handle the situation both differently and better.
I'm sorry. I'm asking for forgiveness. Chris Brown, the famous time here, 1998, President Bill Clinton speaking at a White House press conference denying the then allegations that he'd had a special sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky.
I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Not asking for forgiveness there, but in time that would come. I did not have. And then just a little bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger back in his 2003 election campaign for California governor. LA Times reported on sexual harassment allegations from a bunch of different women. Schwarzenegger publicly apologized.
Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people. And that those people that I have offended, I want to say to them, I'm deeply sorry about that, and I apologize, because this is not what I tried to do.
Deeply sorry, but I don't know, Roxanne, it didn't sound exactly deeply contrite to me from Arnold.
Well, I mean, when I first saw Paula Deen's video, it looked like a hostage video.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who say they're sorry, and what they're really sorry about is that they're now in a position to have to apologize for their actions, and they're trying to protect their franchises and their future jobs. I think that what part of this discussion is whether or not they want something from us. politicians want our votes. And so they're saying, I'm really sorry, I feel really bad, and I won't do it again, which is what five-year-olds say to their parents. But I do think part of the conundrum here is that there's a lot of pressure to forgive. It's part of most religions. It's part of a wellness and psychological aspect. And so I think there's an awful lot, and I think politicians play on this. Please forgive me. This could be you. Don't cast the first stone, blah, 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 blah. And what I worry about is that we're getting into this sort of squishy moral universe that basically says if everything is forgivable, then really there's no serious transgressions. Instead of saying, I did a bad thing, I have to pay the price for that bad thing and I have to go live my life. But I'm not asking you to pretend that it, you know, didn't happen, or at some point decide that it really didn't matter enough to vote me out of office or not buy my cookbooks.
Yeah. Robin Ford, I mean, there's a tough, hard perspective from our Old Testament enthusiast at the moment, Roxanne Roberts. Are we going squish, Robin, when we just sort of, you know, people go off for a little bit, then they're back and they're right back in the swirl? Are we going squishy?
No, I don't think so. I think that there's a big difference between forgiving and forgetting. You know, if you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you forget what they did. You don't, you know, give them a pass. I certainly was not giving Paula Deen a pass for using the N-word, no matter how long ago it was. But she has appeared to me in things, and obviously I don't know her personally, but I believe that she is contrite about that. She does not appear to be a racist woman in the way that racism is harmful to a broad majority of people that she encounters. So that's why, as far as her using the N-word, you know, 25, 30 years ago, I am willing to forgive her. She said she's sorry about that. Also, though, forgiveness has to come with some sort of making amends and wanting to be redeemed in some way.
Yeah.
It doesn't come if you continually do the same thing over and over. And I see, you know, those like Alec Baldwin doing that.
What, sort of being outrageous again and again, and yet he's back again and again because he's charming. He's right there in the ads on TV, and he's, you know, and he's charming after his tirade, and people say, well, come on back, Alec.
Yeah, and that kind of baffles me. I don't really see what's so charming about him, frankly. I mean, he's, you know, he had a outrage with his daughter. He had a tirade on American Airlines, and he ended his Twitter account. Then he started his Twitter back up. Then he, you know, has had this most recent one. And when, you know, he's thrown all sorts of really vile homophobic language out there. And he said, you know, that he's sorry, he didn't mean it, and he closed his Twitter account. Well, guess what? The Twitter account is back up.
Can I throw something in here, which
yes,
is
please.
That there are people who are just jerks, okay? They do jerky things. Sometimes it's an anomaly in their lives. Sometimes it's just part of who they are. I think...
Are you talking Alec Baldwin here or what?
Well, I don't know him, so I can't speak to that, but his actions would seem to support that. But I think that one of the issues of not forgetting doesn't necessarily mean that you can forgive someone and say, you know, I personally am not going to carry any personal feelings of anger or betrayal or anything, particularly with someone you don't know. But I do think that you can say, I may forgive you, but I'm not going to forget what you did. And I don't necessarily think you should be rewarded for having the job back that you want, which is a public trust. That's different in Baldwin's case, but he's talented and he'll probably get hired by a lot of people in Hollywood because of that. But That doesn't mean he's an admirable person. It doesn't mean that I have to, I don't really have to forgive him because I don't even have to like him.
Yeah, yeah. Alina, the sort of tenor of Anthony Weiner's comeback as this notion that I made mistakes and I've learned from them. Given that your book is Better My Mistakes, I want to ask you about that. But here's a little bit of the sound of the former disgraced New York congressman announcing that he'd run for mayor of New York via YouTube. He's with his wife by his side, hitting the rebrand button here.
Look, I made some big mistakes, and I know I let a lot of people down. But I've also learned some tough lessons. I'm running for mayor because I've been fighting for the middle class and those struggling to make it my entire life. And I hope I get a second chance to work for you.
Okay, there's Anthony Weiner. Alina, your colleague Frank Bruni writing the Times today that Weiner was at a high school in Queens recently with on this kind of theme, talking about how setbacks make the man. Polio for FDR, imprisonment for Mandela. And then kind of looking to put himself in their ranks. Would they have been so great had they not had those obstacles? Is this what you mean by better by mistakes, Alina?
Well, that's a pretty impressive company Weiner's put himself in.
Yeah. And here's my tweet, by the way.
That's right. And I tweeted my groin out, yeah. So I'm like Mandela. Yeah. But, you know, I think that, yeah, it's a little ridiculous, as we know, that comparison. What obstacle he put himself, he made, you could call it a mistake, you could call it, you know, stupidity. But I think, as people have been saying here, the proof is in the pudding. Do we never forgive this guy? Do we never vote for him, even though we think that, you know, I'm not saying what his stand is, but if we agree, you know, I don't know that much about his stand, but if we agree that he's going to be the best guy for New York City, do we say we'll never vote for him? No, but again, he has to prove himself. He has to not do the same thing or something equally stupid. I also just want to mention when Roxanne was talking about forgiveness, it's true. I don't think forgiveness should be automatic. I think that is the tendency in Judeo-Christian culture to believe that. But as someone I once spoke to, a professor who studied this a lot, said forgiveness should be a hope, not a claim. People don't have the right to demand forgiveness. I also, one last thing, I think we, the American public, love this sense of outrage that we get. We do it over and over. We're incredibly shocked when a celebrity lets us down. And then somehow we slowly start forgiving them again. And this seems to be a scenario we play out over and over. And I think the American public gets something out of it.
Yeah, I guess. And certainly they're willing to play Roxanne. I mean, you've got Mark Sanford, you know, voted back into Congress. But I saw Chuck Todd tweeting, saying, you know, what's up? Why do politicians who have personal problems think public therapy campaigns for redemption are in the best interest of the public? And here I'm looking on Politico. Stanley Renshin is a professor psychologist at City University of New York, Robin's home there. And he says, what people have done by forcing politicians to resign is forcing them to admit publicly that they weren't all they thought they were. And now the answer to that particular bump in the road is, well, if you reelect me, I'll be able to put that behind me somewhat. It's not that the public needs him or them back in office. It's more that they need to be back in office to be given
exactly.
That kind of clean slate.
Forgiveness in sort of the broader concept is really about the person doing the forgiving. It can be a redemptive act for the sinner, but it's essentially to lift a burden off the person who has been betrayed in some way. And every time I hear a politician talk about how sorry they are, you know, it rings so untrue to me because I feel like they're really sorry they blew their chances at their ambitions and their jobs, and that they desperately want us to forgive them so they can go on and continue doing what they want to do.
Including the self-perception that they want to hold.
Yes, and it's like, oh, look at me. I've really learned a lesson, and I'm a better person. But my question is what happened to you make you the best person to represent me? I always think that there is, in fact, a contract that a politician makes that says, I'm a person of character and I'm going to do the very best job for you. I'm going to represent your interests. And my attitude is, if you've done something that's very stupid or illegal or just kind of icky, are you the best person to represent me and my interests in political office? And maybe there's somebody who hasn't done that who could do an equal or better job. I think it's just this sort of desperate desire on a lot of politicians' part to be in the game instead of gracefully saying, I screwed up and I have to pay the price for a very long time for that.
Well, we'll see. New York gets its chance to decide here. South Carolina already has with Mark Sanford. Roxanne Roberts, Robin Ford, Alina Tugin, stand by. Lots of callers waiting here. Joe in Manchester, Tennessee. Joe, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, thanks, Tom. Couple points that forgiving is different than giving trust back. So that's a big distinction, I think, and you all have talked about that quite a bit. Very hard to give the trust back. But to the Paula Deen point, the one thing that, or a couple things, she, all these others, I think most of the others that you brought up, and you've brought up quite a few, have done something that at that time in our life and our social growth has been pretty much unacceptable. You know, Wiener, Spitzer and all of them, Martha Stewart, they all, you know, did something that at that time was not good. And yes, we can argue about whether Paula Deen did something that was not good, you know, 30 years ago, was that good or bad, but it was a lot more socially acceptable in different parts of the country. So it's a kind of a gray area. But the biggest thing for me is that when confronted with it, whether it be by I think her case was the grand jury, press for Bill Clinton, so on and so forth, she told the truth. Everybody else, I'm pretty sure, that you've listed off today has either denied or deflected or just, you know, flat out lied. So to me, giving her forgiveness is a lot easier, and especially if I wanted to give her my trust back as my celebrity, it would be a lot easier because she told the truth up front.
Yeah, Joe, we've got it. Alina, how about it? Make a clean breast of it quickly, and you're more likely to regain the trust, maybe even forgiveness. How far does that go, Alina?
I think that's right. I mean, I think that Paula Deen, as odd as her apology may have appeared and somewhat incoherent at times, she seemed sincere. It wasn't just a PR spin, which is unfortunately what most of these other people have done, where it's clear the problem is that they got caught, not that they made the mistake. With her, obviously none of us, well, at least I certainly don't know her, but she seemed sincere and she seemed to, as she said, learn and grow. And I think that is a really important aspect of all this.
Hey, Robin, I wonder how you heard Roxanne's soliloquy on, you know, there are some things that once you've done them, you should just sort of shuffle off and let others step to the fore. How does that square with your notion of, you know, we're all flawed, so second chance, let's go?
Well, I think everybody deserves a second chance. And you know, if for politicians, again, they're going to be judged by their constituents. They're going to be judged. We'll see if Wiener gets elected mayor. Then that means that people have forgiven him. They've given him another chance. They believe he's the right man for the job. The same with Eliot Spitzer. You know, with Paula Deen, she has apologized. She has admitted it. She didn't have to admit it, to be honest.
Well, it was there on the court record.
Well, but I mean, she could have lied in the deposition.
Oh, way back when,
people
that's true.
Do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, sure.
No.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about who deserves public forgiveness, from Paula Deen to Anthony Weiner to Eliot Spitzer and beyond. There is a long list. Whose transgressions deserve a pass, get a pass these days, and why? Robin Ford joins us from New York. She's director of the Center for Teaching and Learning Excellence at the Medgar Evers College of the City University of New York. Wrote for Salon.com, I'm Black and I Forgive Paula Deen, was the headline. Alina Tugend is with us, columnist for the New York Times, author of Better by Mistakes, The Unexpected Benefits of Being Wrong. And Roxanne Roberts is with us. She writes the Reliable Source column at the Washington Post, daily column on Washington society. You know her from NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. There is a pile of response online here. It's interesting. Joni says, it's not a matter of forgiveness. I don't vote for someone I don't trust. And it sounds like she's got Mr. Wiener and Mr. Spitzer in that category. Jay says, forgiving them is one thing, and I do. asking us to put them in a position of authority over us is quite another. And Mari writes, judging from the current pattern, I'd say that Americans don't much care about the sexual peccadilloes of male politicians, but they are horrified, all caps, and quite unforgiving when a female celebrity misspeaks. Or is that Ms. speaks, she writes. Oh, boy. Is there a gender line here, Roxanne? Are we tougher on women than men? I mean, it's the men who seem to be out there with all the sexual indiscretions.
I think that there are certainly elements of gender here. And then you get into a discussion of unfair standards. And I think that that's probably true. But the critical point is, what do we give a pass to? And why do we give a pass to it? And, you know, I worry that if someone begs for forgiveness, it's basically because they want to somehow diminish what they did and pretend it's not that important. And I think it's okay to have a discussion that says that there are a lot of great politicians in the past who would never have been elected if we judge them on their private lives. Mm. And that is a separate discussion. But I think that as an individual, I have every right to make a moral judgment about that person, about their goodness, their trustworthiness. And I'm going to come with a whole lot of historical knowledge and baggage based on my gender, based on how I grew up. And that's going to be different from someone else's. But that doesn't change my right to have that perception and make that decision about whether I want to forgive. I also really question whether everybody does deserve a second chance. I think there are some things that are so bad that they just don't. And you should say, I'm sorry you did this and I'm sorry it ruined your life, but you don't get a second chance from me.
But these politicians are no mean analysts of American culture, and they are clearly betting by their runs for office in New York that a majority of voters anyway are going to be willing to say that American society culture is not too tough on that front these days, Roxanne.
Well, I think that part of that is it's throwing it back at a voter and saying, hey, are you perfect? Have you never made a mistake? That's what Paula did. And I think there's a difference between saying, have you never made a mistake, or have you made a specific kind of mistake? You know, I've made mistakes, but I'm not running for public office or asking to represent other people. But they're counting on intimidating me a little bit by saying, are you perfect? You know, why are you judging me as if I should be perfect?
Let him without sin throw the first stone. That's got a pretty deep New Testament root there. Millie in Bennington, Vermont. Millie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm so glad Elliot Spitzer has come forth. I don't care about the others. Elliot Spitzer is intelligent. He has guts to stand up to corruption in government when so many don't. And his contributions outweighs infidelity when 70% of men do it, period.
And the breaking of the law in going to a prostitute, to the prostitution ring repeatedly when he was in office, or even if he wasn't, but... never mind, Millie?
I don't know. I just think that he has more to contribute other than that part of his life.
So what would he have to do if you admire him as a public official? What would it take for him to fall off your map of acceptability?
Shape up and be... you know, faithful to his wife.
Okay. So you're going to, what would he have to do to redeem himself? Well, okay, Millie, we've got it. I appreciate your call very much. Let me get a couple more here. Phil in Norfolk, Virginia. Phil, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. Hi. Yeah, this is a great show. Great subject. You know, next time I have to apologize. I want to get a soundtrack like Mr. Anthony had. I thought that was really charming. But I wanted to talk about, another fellow who kind of fell off the map, and it seems to depend on what the indiscretion is and who does it. It's Michael Richards.
This is the actor who played, and comedian who played Kramer on Seinfeld.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what, he also used the N-word, at, I think, in a stand-up performance
right,
somewhere.
He had an unfortunate thing, and he, I don't know why it was. It seems like... he's nowhere to be found, and, you know, it's maybe a personal choice, but, you know, I don't think he didn't kill anybody. I think he's a funny guy. I wouldn't mind seeing him again.
Robin, I don't know how closely you followed that story of Michael Richards, Kramer, and his, I guess, kind of a unscripted outburst at a stand-up club. And he has pretty much he's disappeared to my eye anyway since then. Would you bring that one back, Robin?
I don't know if he's sort of fallen off the public radar because of that, or he just hasn't gotten the right roles. I think that you've mentioned a couple of different categories of transgressions. Mm-hmm. There's racism, violence, with Chris Brown, and then sex. Mm-hmm. I think these are very different, and the way that the American public looks at these is very different as well. There was a couple of very good editorials recently. One by Ishmael Reed in the Washington, the Wall Street Journal, and one by Gene Seymour for CNN, that really discuss how the question of race and racism and race relations in this country is one that we don't want to talk about. So when someone does something that is blatantly obvious, like using the N-word, it's far easier for the public and the media to make a huge deal over it, which distracts our attention from other things that are going on that are far more important, such as the Supreme Court's decision with the Voting Rights Act, things that are going on with black young men every day, educational disparities. It's much easier to look at Kramer or Dean and say, oh, they use the N-word. They're terrible. We have to, stone them. Yeah. I think those are knee-jerk reactions, and they don't do anyone any good.
I mean, Alina, how about it? Maybe we should be looking at policy instead of these transgressions, whether it's war or prison populations or economic performance, equity, you name it. Maybe that's where the eye should be. Maybe all this is kind of a sideshow.
I mean, I have to agree 100% with Robin. I said that over and over in my discussions with other people, how quickly we jump on people like this. Not that we should embrace what they said by any means, but it makes us feel good, I think.
Righteous.
It makes exactly. We feel righteous that we can condone these people. And my God, I would never say that, though. Who knows what these people say in private? And I wish people would be a little more outraged about some of the very things she mentioned, prison populations, education, all these things, the Supreme Court ruling. I think those are the things we should be outraged by. Paula Deen, a cook on a TV show, saying an N-word 30 years ago. Yeah, it's news. I get it. But I just think the amount of disgust heaped on her is just certainly not in sync with what she actually did.
I mean, there was that whole backstory of her diabetes kept concealed while she was putting out all those rich dishes.
I think that's, that's much more, I'm sorry, Tom, but to me, that's much more hypocritical and much more disturbing that she's pushing fatty foods and then shilling for a diabetes drug company. More disturbing.
I think a lot herself, of these people, I think these people come flashpoints for, all these national discussions. It's sometimes hard to begin a discussion on sort of a macro level about race in this country, but it's easy to start talking about
or you name it,
or about some very complex issues that this country has been struggling with for a couple centuries. Mm. But it's very easy to talk about what we think about Paula Deen and race. It's a way into those discussions. So I think that's one of the reasons people jump on it. You're less likely to have a conversation with your neighbor about the macro subject, but it's very easy to say, hey, did you hear what Paula Deen did?
Yeah, and suddenly we're into that conversation. Mary in Carlisle, Massachusetts. Mary, you're on the air.
Hi. What I haven't heard anyone refer to is that, with the exception of Paula Deen, that was a cultural thing. 30 years ago, I'm from the South, and it takes a long time to get that out of your system and to recognize it's wrong. No one has mentioned all of these other people are just arrogant. They are so arrogant they think they can do as they please and get away with it. It's the way they can be it. And that's what I think is the worst, is they're also incredibly, incredibly arrogant and self-centered.
So, I mean, as if politics don't come with some self-centeredness and maybe some arrogance, or, I mean, isn't that kind of part of the territory, Mary? Can we expect...
It shouldn't be. Why should you be arrogant just because you were elected to represent the people of your state?
Well, I quite agree. Why should you be? Roxanne, if we banish the arrogant from Washington, what's the population of the district going
to be? I wouldn't have anything to write about.
I mean, I take Mary's point, though.
It's sort of the, I mean, we always have this sort of classic Greek dramas going on that have been going on for so long. When you combine ambition and intelligence and power and money and you put them all in one small space, you get arrogance, and you get arrogance in, you know, Wall Street, you get arrogance in Hollywood, you get arrogance in Washington. Is that a reason for people to be arrogant? No. Does it explain why it's easier for good people to become arrogant? Yes.
But then there's the question of, I mean, with all this and the big important policy questions Robin, as you and others raise, granted, and still we have to make decisions about what will pass and what won't here is okay. I mean, here's John Edwards. You don't hear him talking about a comeback, at least not yet. This is August 2008, talking with ABC News' Bud Woodruff there, admitting, apologizing for having his affair with Arielle Hunter, filmmaker hired to work on his presidential campaign. Here's Edwards.
In 2006, 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake, a mistake that I am responsible for and no one else. In 2006, told Elizabeth about the mistake, asked her for her forgiveness, asked God for his forgiveness. And we have kept this within our family since that time. All of my family knows about this. And just to be absolutely clear, none of them are responsible for it.
John Edwards. Roxanne Roberts, over the line there. Is that a bridge too far?
Well, in listening to that, the thing that struck me is he said, I asked Elizabeth for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about this subject last night, I was thinking about who am I willing to forgive what? And when you love someone, even if they have transgressed against you in terrible ways, forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is never easy to do, but it's much easier to do if you care about the person.
And you're genuinely in a position to give it if there's...
And you want to be whole. You want everybody to move on. What we have been talking about are mostly public figures who I don't have any emotional attachment to. And so I can sit back and look at this in a more intellectual way. I can say, is this person what I consider to be a good person? Do I want this person to represent me? Do I want this person to, in effect, be rewarded by my continued financial support or my votes for behavior that I don't think is necessarily good behavior and is not emblematic of a good person? But I do think, I mean, I think Edwards has done it right in the sense that he has served his time legally. He is living a quiet life, and he has not put himself in the position of asking us to, as a public, to forgive what were some pretty terrible things that he did to a number of people.
Alina, if Mr. Wiener and Mr. Spitzer are elected now in New York, what will that say to the rest of the political world, the rest of the world, about what the bar is now? You know, is you know, sort of 5 minutes of sorrow and you're back in the game? I guess it's longer in Spitzer's case, a couple of years nearly in Wiener's. If they're reelected, does it mean that we are in a new, you know, you can erase your indiscretions quickly and be right back off the bench era?
Well, I sort of think Mark Sanford showed that already. I was kind of shocked by that reelection.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're in a new era exactly, but I think it does prove that the time between the fall and the rise is getting shorter and shorter, and people, especially with Wiener, and yes, that perhaps people either don't take it those you know, egregious acts as seriously as we think some of us think they should, or yes, that they buy into, and I have to say, I think they, you know, this sort of
We all make mistakes. We should all be forgiven, which is true up to a point. But as we said, we have to differentiate the mistakes. So I think, yeah, it definitely sends out this message that we can screw up and we can come back as long as we sound abject enough about it.
Robin, if we get to an era of quicker forgiveness, are we becoming better people or worse?
I don't know if I could say if we're coming better or worse. I think that when these people that we've sort of put up on pedestals fall, you know, it's a reflection on us. That, you know, I think a lot of Americans feel, you know, that it in some way has shown that they had poor judgment to, you know, vote for this person or, you know, watch this person on TV or, you know, whatever. So when they so then there's, you know, a reaction immediate of, oh, you're awful. And time, you know, will tell. Also, you know, these politicians are all white males of a certain class, education.
There's a lot to look at right there. Robin Ford, Alina Tugin, Roxanne Roberts, you're all great to be with us today. Really interesting. Thanks so much. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.